Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Friend Rap Show. I'm going to be your host today. My name is Makuni, whilst Nicholas is away on leave. We have bad news for our regular Daily Friend viewers, and that is the announcement of the departure of Sara Gon, who's taking on a full-time directorship at the Free Speech Union. Sara has been a great source of information, lots of witty comments on the show. I certainly enjoyed learning and studying from you, Sara, and I'm very, very sad to announce that you're leaving. At the end of the show, we'll conclude with Sara's whereabouts, where you guys can follow her, and if she has any last comments. This is not the end for Sara on the Daily Friend. I'm sure she'll still be making appearances, just probably not as regular. Moving on to the stories for today, we have an op-ed here that was written by Professor Francois Fenter of the Wits University. He's a clinician researcher there who wrote a scathing review of the South African government's failure to respond to the withdrawal of US aid grants and PEPFAR, the programs that support South Africa's HIV initiatives. Their failure to act and respond to that quickly enough to mitigate losses of lives, patients not fulfilling their treatments. And he starts this piece. It's called "Our HIV Program is Collapsing and Government is No Way is to Be Seen." He starts this piece reflecting on when the Thabo Mbeki administration first responded to HIV with this skepticism and suspicion of the science behind it, and says that sadly, the Minister of Health, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, and President Cyril Ramaphosa are charting their tragic legacy, the legacy of former President Thabo Mbeki and former late Minister Manto Tshabalala Msimang. He says this time, though, it isn't denialism, it's ignoring the problem. He says that in South Africa, the suspension of these US programs has led to NGO-led clinics being closed overnight. Stockouts were reported of antiretrovirals, and thousands of workers across HIV programs lost their jobs. MATCH, MATCH, an organization that provides HIV services, entered the business rescue. Inova, also a major service provider, retrenched 2,000 staff. TAC Rechidze, which monitors the HIV program, retrenched 75% of its team. 230,000 doses of long-acting injectable medicines that prevent HIV transmission have not been released due to the funding freeze. Basically, the rupture of this once world-class HIV treatment unraveling right before our very own eyes. Sara, it seems Dr. Motsoaledi, our health minister and our president and his team have been absent. Where are they in terms of responding to this? No one knows. And yet these are lives that are going to be lost as a result of this inaction. I'm wondering what your reflection is of this development in the US withdrawal of aid and how it affects South Africa.
In fairness to our government, and I'm not going to be fair to them for very long, in fairness to our government, Trump basically withdrew almost all aid packages around the world to different organizations in different countries. So it's not our particularly fraught relationship with the USA that's behind this. But the problem is that we've built up fantastic expertise and how programs, et cetera, but the problem is, of course, is that it is aid and it has been around for a long time, and we've become very used to taking it for granted. And particularly in an environment where the change in presidents in the U.S. is personality-wise is very different. Obviously, Trump doesn't go for soft power. The fact that he withdrew the aid and may relook at it later is very unfortunate. I think most other governments would have done it differently, but it's something we have to live with and bear in mind that our fraught relationship on the broader geopolitical stage is not going to help any attempts to deal with it. And in being complacent, and I think this is very much, and it won't only apply to us, but in being complacent, we're going to find it very, very hard to replicate this unless it comes out of our own resources. And I think that part of the reason it's being ignored is that the government just doesn't have the resources to do it. It's just kind of assumed it would carry on indefinitely. And it's very unlikely to be replaced by the government besties in Russia and China.
Yeah, I just fear to see what the consequences of this are going to be. Like you're saying, we certainly don't have the resources. And even the political leadership has been seemingly absent. I would have assumed that with the US launching this sort of soft power, as you said, attack on virtually every country, the first place we would have thought to respond to would have been to the issue of health, especially HIV, which has characterized so many deaths in South Africa. But due to the interventions of the US in this world-class PEPFAR program, that was mitigated quite efficiently. We will keep our eye on this story to see where the South African government comes out on this. We will be watching the UNU closely to see their response.
Can I mention something that sort of really struck me is Professor Venter says that we have, you know, talk about the skills and the capacities and programs, and really we're in a position to do it all, that offers of funding have come from the private sector and the government has not taken it. So, you know, we're shooting ourselves in our collective feet.
And can you imagine this under the NHI, Sarah? Can you imagine whether the government would be able to just emulate this response to AIDS? It's unthinkable. On to our next story. We have a critique of the Labour Minister, who, according to Tony Leon in his op-ed here in News 24, has missed the memo that South Africa is open for business. And this was written in response to the sectoral targets, these quotas that have been issued by the Department of Employment and Labour on what percentage of different races for different races can be employed in 18 to 12 sectors across these four different occupational levels. And essentially, Tony Leon says here that weeks after she was installed in office last July, a report revealed that unemployment had hit a record high of 8.3 million people in search of work who could not find any job. Of a labor force of 25 million people, 33.5% were unemployed. On the expanded definition, which includes those who have given up in the attempt to find work, the figure rose to 42.6%, or around 12 million people, statistics that have been described by analyst Anne Bernstein as the worst unemployment crisis in the world. And yet here we are, Sarah, instead of growing the pie, instead of growing the economy, generating more jobs, because jobs beget jobs, right? We're approaching this from the zero-sum mentality where it's a small pie, small supply of jobs, and now they need to be rationed according to demographic representation. What do you make of this? Is this just a distraction from these realities? I mean, we constantly refer to these unemployed numbers, but these are people. These are human lives. This is human potential. This is human capital just sitting, rotting away whilst the government is pitting us against each other and trying to cut up this pie again. That's the outlook here. That's certainly the sort of mentality these quotas engender, this outlook that there's a, you know, few number of jobs and they must be shared according to how the minister decides. I'm wondering what you think of these racial targets.
Well, I don't think she didn't get the memo. I think Tony Leon's wrong in that. I think there was never a memo sent. I was just doing a calculation. Somebody wanted some of the articles I've written criticizing Cyril Ramaphosa since, you know, in the time I've been with the Institute, just under 10 years. I've written 11. And the same messages have come through almost, are mentioned in almost every article, the promises of doing things, the promises of this, the fact that the government is open for business. Of course, the government's not open for business, because if it were open for business, particularly now that it has a more muscular DA sort of demanding input into literally rescuing the economy from implosion, there is nothing. It's not just that we're not doing anything to improve the situation, to improve the desire and the attraction in opening, in starting businesses and thereby employing people, particularly as you're dealing with, you need businesses that would support people with poor or no skills. It's actually everything that's been done, even in the last year, is almost a summary of what's been wrong for the last near 20 years. We've talked about NHI, expropriation without compensation, the extraordinarily harsh procurement regulations. Now we've got the new employment regulations, all created by government, and particularly and the minister and her supporters in government, who have no idea how organizations work. They've defined things in terms of cutting them down into percentage-sized chunks per industry. But a number of companies cover one or two or three industries themselves. They're not that easily categorized or compartmentalized. And I think the problem is that it's what happens when ideology aggravated by corruption, cadre deployment, and incompetence, it overtakes any sense of concern for the people of South Africa. So I think it's just nothing new. It's just harking back to the previous story about our relationship with the USA. It's tone deaf to the nth degree that we are literally doing the opposite of what is needed for us, and that's the story of our government.
I have to agree with you there, and I'll say to the question of these, the idea that obviously companies operate in multiple industries, multiple sectors, there's always overlap. They've taken the cop out in that aspect where they've said that the company will then use the sector or the targets for where most of their employees are employed. It just tells you how arbitrary these are. They are completely made up. They're not informed by anything, despite the attempts to, you know, shoe in these soft, regulations on complex issues, such as the fact that there are overlaps in sectors. But yeah, this is certainly not how a company or a country, rather, that's open for business, should function. The last story for today is about the Gauteng government, which I have no doubt, if you're looking for malfeasance, poor service delivery, a government that has no idea how to make use of its resources, look no further than Gauteng. The EFF is calling for the government to terminate lease agreements with privately owned buildings. This after it was found that the province spends 34 million rand per month on rent, right? So likely 400 million annually on rent, despite owning 41 vacant buildings in Johannesburg. And the government, it says here that the Gauteng government has been spending millions to house 11 of its head offices. To think of rationale and reason, I think it's pointless. Sarah, what do you make of how we arrived here with the Gauteng government?
What I said, the other two stories, ditto. But because basically, you know, to manage something, to manage an entity, whether it be a government department, a provincial department, etc., you have to know what you have on your books. You have to know what assets you have. You have to know what liabilities you have. And the ANC has been in power in Gauteng for too long not to have known and acted upon whether it's got waste, whether the buildings are in any shape to be used. As we know, that's been a story. But it's really the consequence of all of the factors that have been highlighted in the previous two stories. Ideology overlaid by preference, favor, cadre deployment, and something that one should have seen improve over the decades, which one hasn't, is the government should have become more competent. Until last year, it was the majority party, but for the Western Cape. And it seems like, you know, once you go on that slope of not correcting course, and course correction is going to be, would be tough and dramatic for the ANC. But unless you're prepared to do it, which I show no inclination, this is the waste you're going to get. Can you just imagine when it all is totted up in the sort of clear sight of history, how much money will have been wasted in the various levels of government departments? The story of our life.
Yep. I like that part about course correction. We're seeing it now within the GNU, just how difficult it is for the ANC to actually reflect and be held accountable and to walk away or to even embrace ideas outside of their ideological turf. Well, Sarah, 10 great years at the... Oh, I think you wanted to say something?
No.
I was going to say 10 great years at the Institute. You're certainly going to be missed, I know, by me and other viewers of the Daily French Show as you take up this directorship with the FSU. Where can Saragon fans like myself find you? Where will you be appearing regularly? Where can we follow you?
Okay. Well, the essentially I'm taking the Free Speech Union independently. It's not a huge entity because, funny enough, South Africa has a lot of free speech. There are other reasons for really promoting free speech, the right to free speech, and the obligation as to how you communicate. It's really to keep that alive, to criticize it when it's under threat, and to now go into education of younger generations about how valuable free speech is, that every right we have is founded on that. To that extent, the website, you can find me at freespeech.org.za, Free Speech Union on, I always stumble when it comes to Facebook, Facebook, at Speech Africa on X, on LinkedIn, you can find me and Free Speech. And I'm toying with, but I don't want to put my head on the block at the moment, but actually going to a Substack, which will give me a sort of creative license, shall we say, and it may go under the rubric of Sarah Gone Rogue. So you'll get what you doesn't pay for. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you so much, Sarah. That is it from us here at the Daily Friend Rap Show. Make sure to follow Sarah on all those different platforms. It's been a great pleasure, and I'm sure you'll still be seeing her here every now and then when she can make the time for us. Thank you and goodbye.
Thanks, Michael.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.